am really excited to be joined by our next guest. He is a writer with The Athletic. He also is the host of the Sports Media Podcast. There are so many things that I want to talk to him about. Let's head to the phone lines right now and be joined by Richard Deitch of The Athletic. Richard, happy to have you join us on the show today.
Yeah, we'll see if you're excited after the segment, but I appreciate the invite. Good to be here.
Absolutely. Let's start with this. So there are two things that I'm going to remember most from the Tyson and Jake Paul fight, and they're all kind of related to my mom. Number one is my mom's a little bit younger than Mike Tyson, and she had so much enthusiasm that Mike still had a little bit of magic left, and he didn't have any of that magic left. And I also saw her frustration as the stream just repeatedly did not work. What was your experience like on Friday night?
Well, first, if your mom seems like somebody it'd be cool to hang out with, so shout out to her. Well, listen, my experience was like many people who were watching Netflix or trying to watch Netflix. I had buffering and streaming issues throughout. I was watching from Toronto, which is where I'm based now. And, you know, internationally, same issues that people had in the States. You know, the fight itself, you know, it's more... certainly more spectacle, or as Netflix uses the phrase, sports adjacent, than anything else. But they made it available to all subscribers, so you knew that they were going to get a ton of tune in. But again, this is now the second time that Netflix has had a pretty significant event where they've had significant tech issues. And why this is interesting to me and people who do what I do is because, of course, the NFL is coming up with Netflix on Christmas Day. And, you know, the sort of intrinsic agreement that the NFL, I mean, if, quite frankly, any pro sports team makes with its consumers is that, yeah, you might not like the broadcasters, you might not like the result of the game, but the game's going to be there and the game's going to be pristine and you're not going to have any issues watching this game. So that's where it becomes a sort of an interesting scenario in a couple of weeks is Netflix cannot have this repeated. I don't expect them to. But man, can you imagine the outcry from NFL fans, especially those in, you know, let's say like Kansas City or where, you know, the other team, Pittsburgh, the other teams that are playing, if somehow, you know, you missed like 2 minutes of a game because of buffering issues. I mean, you want to talk about a firestorm on social media, that would set it off.
What's so confusing to me about it, Richard, is, and maybe you talk to people that are in the market, is, I mean, I have YouTube TV. I never have this problem. Amazon, I think, has handled Thursday Night Football really well. I was really proud of Peacock's works during the Olympics. They do a really good job with Big Ten games. But you're right. For Netflix to be so early to streaming, you mentioned them multiple times. This was a problem for even some of their live events for a reality show that doesn't have nearly the interest to it. And then they struggled so poorly with this.
Yeah, Love is Blind in 2023, not a show I watched, by the way, but they had a significant issues when it came to a reunion show to the point where they had to essentially cancel it and then, you know, replay it or I guess make it available to people later on. You know, from my understanding is it is very, I'm not taking Netflix's side here, but it is very hard to duplicate 50-60 million people streaming something at the same time. It's very hard to test for this because it doesn't happen. That said, you have to anticipate, I think, if you're a company like that, the kind of global demand that's going to come from someone as famous as Mike Tyson and then, you know, in the influencer world, someone as famous as Jake Paul. So I would think that diagnostically, and again, you know, I'm not a tech person, but I would think they will do everything in their power so that we don't get a repeat of this. But the fact that it even occurred for the Tyson-Paul fight, I think Netflix has, I think you as a consumer have every right to criticize them because you've nailed it. In terms of proof of concept, Amazon has no issues when it comes to this stuff in the NFL. Like you, I watched the Olympics almost exclusively on Peacock. No issues at all. Quite frankly, the opposite. It was just an incredible experience as a consumer. You know, whether you watch the Premier League or college sports, you know, you don't see this on ESPN Plus. They don't, you know, there's not streaming issues unless the issues happen locally with your own carrier. So again, I don't expect it to happen, but man, if this does happen with one of those NFL games, that's a very, very big deal. And then I think if you're in the NFL, you start to wonder, you know, do we really want to, do we really want to put our showcase games on this network or on the streamer, I should say.
And right now we're talking to Richard Deitch. He is the host of the Sports Media Podcast, talking about Netflix. The Chiefs play the Steelers on Netflix. We'll also get his thoughts about baseball and what they're going to do from a television perspective. Last couple of things here on Netflix. You know what they say, like you only get one time to make a first impression, that it just left such a sour taste in people's mouths. Like, I don't know how you, the consumer, can be confident that Netflix can handle the NFL on Christmas. Like, that's going to be a big day. Everybody's at home. You know, you got four marquee teams. Beyonce's doing half time for one of these things. Like, they're gonna have a lot of volume, a lot of traffic. Like, they have never handled these situations well. It's gonna be one of those seeing is believing things. And you're right, at the first sign of any problems that pop up here in 5-6 weeks, people are gonna jump all over Netflix.
Yeah, I mean, the fact is on this one, they have no margin for error. Like, it has to be perfect in terms of the streaming. Again, you may not like the announcers. CBS announcers are doing the game, NFL Network announcers are doing the pre-post and half, but the streaming and buffering issues cannot happen on this. It's just, and I am sure Netflix knows this, and I would think, again, with a company at that kind of market cap, you know, they understand sort of what's at stake. Again, they have obviously a gigantic library. They've had major hits where they've had crazy numbers of streaming. You know, Squid Game is a perfect example of that. But this is live, and people are unforgiving when there are issues when it comes to live, particularly sports fans. So there's a lot on the line. Again, you know, I have people sort of who I respect to say, let's say even if it happened again, it's not like the NFL wants to walk away from Netflix's money. And that's probably true. I mean, you know, all these leagues want Apple and Netflix and Amazon and any massive streamer to be part of their world, because ultimately it funds them through rights deals. But the NFL, again, I think both of us agree on this, it's the most dominant sport in the country. And historically, the one thing that you know as an NFL fan, because so many of these games have traditionally been on over-the-air television, is that you're going to be able to watch it. It's not, you know, the screen isn't going dark because of some tech issue. So I'm with you. I think it's a very, very big deal for Netflix. And if they are serious or have serious ambitions about making live sports part of their portfolio heading forward, they cannot screw this one up. They have to have a clean broadcast.
I want to get your thoughts on the baseball contract as we are heading towards 2028, when it seems like all of the rights deals are going to be up. We'll see if ESPN is still fully invested in baseball. I'm honestly not sure if they're going to be. I understand from an inventory standpoint why ESPN would want to be in the baseball world, but ESPN has really embraced debate, and they don't really talk about baseball on those shows. So why should we spend a lot of money for something that isn't really generating content elsewhere? I could see them moving away from that model. I also want to see Major League Baseball go more towards the Sunday ticket. I understand it's going to be different, but is there a world in which baseball can get everybody to sign on to a deal where the Yankees, the Cubs, the Royals, all of these teams, they all agree to sell their streaming rights to one or two platforms, and then fans can consume the sport that way?
Yeah, so I'm a skeptic here, and you know, I'll give a shout out to my colleague Evan Drellich, who wrote a really good piece on The Athletic that sort of, you know, was a pretty good primer explaining all this, certainly understands it better than me. I'm a skeptic on this because as someone who lived in New York for 20 years, I find it very hard that the Yankees and the Mets would give up their revenue when it comes to the YES Network and SNY. Now, Rob Manfred is going to try to sell them on the fact that if we can get all our inventory under one roof, ultimately will pay off for everybody long term. Maybe he's right, but you are asking, you are making a big ask if you're the owners of the Yankees, the owners of the Mets, the owners of the Dodgers in particular, to walk away from these lucrative deals that have not only made them money, but it's essentially almost guaranteed them in the playoffs all the time. Now, I get why, like, the Cardinals or the Royals or the Diamondbacks, you know, sort of name your mid-market kind of teams, why they would want all this, you know, why they'd want essentially an NFL model like you're talking about with Sunday tickets. So I am a big, big skeptic. If you want to play the optimism role in terms of if you're looking at Major League Baseball, you're correct. I think 2/3, if I'm right about this, of MLB's 30 teams have their rights available come 2028. So they would be setting, you know, already, they'd be
sitting with basically 23, 24 teams to start with, and then they have to try to convince the big teams to go along. To answer your ESPN question, I think ESPN has told you over the last couple of years that their interest in baseball is diminishing, although I don't know if they want to be totally out, because I think you could probably, if you're ESPN, get some kind of pretty inexpensive deal just to sort of maintain your your baseball inventory, where, you know, you still get highlight packages and maybe, you know, you occasionally do a game or stuff. But what Manfred wants to do ultimately is what the NBA just did. I think he would like to get 5, 4, 6 different entities to take parts of this package. That would mean that he needs to get Netflix, Amazon, Apple, you know, it won't be Google, but, you know, those kind of streaming kind of companies. And then obviously figure out between the Foxes and the Warner Brothers Discoveries and ESPNs and, you know, whatever sort of Comcast/NBC is, you know, get some biting from them as well. And then you sell it to multiple different companies. That's your way to really increase your overall rights package. You get more money for the smaller market teams. It's not consumer friendly at all, because again, if you're a diehard baseball fan, what that ultimately means to me is you're going to have to buy multiple streaming packages to watch all this stuff. So I don't think this will be a great deal for consumers, but I understand what Manfred's trying to do. Baseball's been a mess when it comes to the RSN and it comes to local coverage. And if you can get all the inventory under your house, then you got a lot of options in terms of nationalizing your product.
I know that Rob Manfred has made mistakes as the commissioner of the team, but if he can fix this, I mean, his legacy is going to be the pitch clock. And I know that old school baseball heads push back on the pitch clock. It was absolutely the right decision for the game. It has made baseball more enjoyable in the regular season, and it has brought new fans, I think, into the sport, or at least keeps people's attention better than it was. And if he can also solve their television problems, you mentioned the regional sports networks. If you can get rid of that problem and also solve local blackouts, that will ultimately be his legacy in my mind.
Yeah, pitch clock's phenomenal. I would say it game-changed everything in terms of just the content play. It's made the game much more accessible for television and people who watch it, away from the ballpark. I'd actually say it's a better ballpark experience, too, just because the game is then quicker. So that's certainly going to be one of his legacies, I'd imagine, you know, as he sort of continues on with refining the game. You know, some kind of, you know, use the phrase robot umpires, but, you know, some kind of computerized calling, I think will be part of his game, will be part of his legacy as well, because I think that's going to be coming to using technology to make calls in the next couple of years. And then, like you said, yeah, if he can get the broadcasting component semi-fixed, I think he'll walk away with, you know, a pretty good legacy. Again, legacy within baseball, for sure. The only thing when it comes to commissioners, you know, most commissioners, generally speaking, are not beloved by fans. And what usually happens with this stuff, like the one thing, I hate to say, but the one thing you could always bet on is ultimately the consumer's going to pay more for sports. So Manfred may be able to pull this off. But again, I would just, for anybody listening, your audience, if you are a diehard baseball fan, the likelihood is that you are going to have 3 or 4, I'd say minimum, streaming services to watch all of these games. Now, again, a lot of people, you know, particularly men under the age of 40, they have discretionary income and they're willing to pay for it. But in many ways, sports heading forward, particularly in the 2030s, it's kind of going to be an upper middle class play. You're going to have to spend some money in order to watch this stuff.
That is Richard Deitch joining us on the show. He does fantastic work with The Athletic. He also is the host of the Sports Media Podcast. Be sure to check it out if this kind of stuff interests you. Richard, man, it was an honor to have you join us today. I got a lot of respect for you and your reporting. It was great to have you join us today.
Thank you. I mean, I'll send the check in the mail. It's a good hype job. I appreciate that. Thank you.
I appreciate it. That's Richard Deitch.